Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Yes, yes, yes. It's another winning Wednesday here on Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the word, spread the word. We are right now live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can just download the TuneIn app or go directly to TuneIn and you will hear Meet Your Girl POC live each and every Wednesday, each and every winning Wednesday, actually, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. here on the Revive platform. Thank you for everyone who's out there supporting and spreading the word that we are live, because you know we keep Revive alive each and every day. Yes, make sure you guys are following the timeline as well on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Yes. Also, hit us up if you got any questions, comments, or concerns about what's going on out here in today's world. Make sure you call us 215-490-9832. Or if you have any comments on what we're talking about here today on Revive, make sure you hit us up as well. Give us a call or hit us up on our social media, but we want to hear what you guys have to say. So definitely give us a call at 215-490-9832. We want you guys to engage at all times, and we want to, you know, give back, and we want to speak to you guys. We want to hear your perspectives always. You know me, I'm trying to get in your mind always. Definitely. So also I want to give a huge shout out to everyone who supported the Revive platform and the Russell Brand movement this past weekend with the Rhythm and Reasoning event, Revive's first event. It went down in the DMV this weekend. Shout out to everyone who supported, who came through, who showed love. It was an amazing, amazing event. It was an eye-opener and definitely a life lesson, a business lesson as well. I learned so many different things out of that event. I soaked it up like a sponge. Definitely did. So I do appreciate everyone who came through and just had a conversation with me. I kept trying to tell everybody, yo, I'm not throwing a party. I am throwing a conversation. So definitely, and I'm going to keep this movement going. I am not stopping there. That was my first, but it definitely is not going to be my last. So definitely stay tuned to the Revive platform. Also, make sure you guys subscribe to that newsletter. We put in too much work for that newsletter. Shout out to Harmony the Goddess for always holding on the Revive team as well. She put in endless work and time, effortless. I mean, because the way it came out is so beautiful. So if you want to see the Revive newsletter, make sure you subscribe right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. If you scroll down just a little bit, right under where it says play, to go ahead and listen to me, your girl POC, it's a big blue button right there that says subscribe. Literally, it says subscribe. So make sure you guys go subscribe to the Revive newsletter so you can stay up on all current events, all trending topics, upcoming events that we're having, engagements that we're attending, things like that. We also are going to start putting out networking events that we think you guys should attend, or different things like the women conference that's coming up in October with Michelle Obama, the first lady. Michelle Obama. Does anybody even address her as the first lady? Trump's wife? I don't even, what's her name again? Melania? Does anyone even address her as the first lady? I never heard anyone say Melania, the first lady Melania Trump. I never heard that. I don't address it. But anyway, October 3rd, Michelle Obama, my first lady, Auntie Michelle, is coming to Philadelphia. I'm extremely excited. I'm going to be there volunteering. You know me, I got to be in the middle of it all. I got to experience what's going on. So if you got tickets to that event, just know you're going to see me there as well, because I'm definitely going to be in the building. It's sold out too. You can't even get in right now. It is sold out. I tried to look it up today for one of my coworkers. Sold out. You can't get in. You can't get through the door. And then, and the tickets, I heard the tickets skyrocket. Yes, put the link out there so they can at least know where it is and what it's about. So we're about to tweet that link as well, so you guys can know what's coming up in the city of Philadelphia. I think that is an amazing event. If you're not able to attend because now it is sold out, I still think you should watch it, you know, live stream, because they are live streaming it as well. But definitely, shout out to everyone who helped us this weekend. Shout out to all my volunteers. Mr. Andre, I will forever love you. Shout out to Mr. Andre. Also, my mom, she helped me down as well. Ma, I love you. Thank you. Also, we have an event coming up this Saturday. It don't stop. The movement does not stop. We have an event coming up this Saturday in Delaware called Bar Misfit. I'm going to be putting out some promo for that starting tomorrow. We'll be doing some vending down there in Delaware, Dover, Delaware this weekend. So I'm trying to go global. I'm trying to hit the whole East Coast and bring it to the West Coast and bring it back to the Midwest. I'm trying to do it all. So definitely stay tuned to the Revive Timeline, because I will be doing some heavy promo for that event coming up this Saturday for you guys to attend that as well. Yo, did you hear about, I want to get into a little bit of controversy here, because it's a doggy dog world out here, literally. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what Michael Vick said to Colin Kaepernick this past Monday? He tripping. He is completely tripping. And to know that it was Michael Vick who actually said it really threw me for a loop. It really, really, truly threw me for a loop. Because how does Michael Vick have the audacity to say anything about anyone's hair? How long did he rock those straight back Meek Mill Jones? Like, how long did he have the Meek Mill braids in his head? Really? Are we really going to talk about it? And he's going to say that Colin needs to clean up his look. Why would he want to put any more, you know, detriment on his appearance right now based off everything that he's going through with the NFL? I'm going to read the exact quote from what he said. "I don't think he should represent himself in that way," Vic said about Colin Kaepernick's hair. "Just the style. Just go clean cut. You know, why not? You're already dealing with a lot. Like, why not? You're already dealing with a lot. What do you mean? Go clean cut. What is he portraying? What honestly, that's my question. What is he portraying? What is he giving off? What is the representation that he's giving off when he's walking around with his afro or with his straight back cornrows? What is he giving off? All I see is another African American male who's an athlete. And so much more. You know what I mean? Colin Kaepernick showed me so much more that Michael Vick could ever teach me. Ever. I mean, what has Michael Vick done for the same people that he's saying he should be representing for? If we're really going to talk about it, what has Michael Vick done for the culture? What has Michael Vick done in the last couple years to even speak up on when it comes to police brutality and everything else that Colin Kaepernick is standing on at this time? What is Michael Vick doing? But you want to get up there and you want to speak and tell somebody what they should be doing when you're not doing anything. That doesn't make any sense to me. And then it's like, okay, so you have to think of the NFL like a job. To us, it's entertainment, but to the actual athletes, it's a job. It's what they go do to get their paycheck. So to me, it felt like he was saying what every other person in this world was saying in the white collar or the blue collar job. I'm sorry, with the blue collar job, that you have to look this certain way. You have to walk and talk a certain way as well. That has to stop. And then for him to continue that myth or that long going scenario about how we should walk, talk, and look when we enter the workforce is a problem. How are you going to continue that? You know, as a black man who is fighting, man, let's talk about it. They put you in jail over some dogs. If you really want to talk about it, and then you want to compare your representation to Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick never been arrested. Never seen handcuffs. Never seen a jail cell. You know what I mean? His resume and your resume don't even compare. Your stats and his stats don't even compare. When I went to go do my research, I had to look into some stats. I was like, I can't come on here talking about football and I don't know nothing about football. And his last season at the tender age of 29, his stats were better than yours. So let's talk about it. His stats are better than yours because he's still 29. So if we're really going to talk about it. So then another thing, just to get back onto the topic of, you know, entering the workforce and being told that you have to look a certain way, or you have to talk a certain way, you have to act a certain way. For him to say that just proves that people are out here selling themselves, you know, for a check. People are giving up their integrity, their morals, their values to cash out on a check. Is the NFL still paying you, Michael Vick? So why are you speaking on something you are not even getting a check for? And if you are, it just proves that you're cool. You're cooing yourself. I'm not calling him a coon. I'm just saying, if you are getting a check to expose another African-American male who's doing something, he's doing more than just playing the sport. He's doing more than just playing the sport. He's now standing up for something that is ultimately right and that he believes in. When you went to jail for those dogs, you know how many people backed you? So the fact that you're not backing Colin Kaepernick says a lot to me about who you are as a person, about your integrity, about your morals, about your belief system. Honestly, because at the end of the day, even with your clean cut, you're still a black man. You're still nigga, as Jay-Z still told us, you know, as he just dropped, still nigga. You see what I'm saying? You're still, they're always going to remember you as Michael Vick, who went to jail for 18 months for dog fighting. That's your legacy. So how can you try to put a spin on his legacy, on Colin Kaepernick's legacy, and talk about it's his hair? How is it his hair? He's doing nothing but being himself. And mind you, if you really want to get into details, Colin Kaepernick is mixed. He's interracial, you know what I mean? He's mixed. Half white, half black. So what's the representation that he's really showing? I really want to know the answer to that. And for Mike Vick's yesterday, recant his statement and try to take it back and saying it had nothing to do with his hair. He's just saying that he should clean everything up based on what's going on in the NFL. But that just proves to me, Michael Vick, that it's still a white man's world. It's still a white man's world. If the white man said jump and you don't jump or you don't say how high, they're going to cut you off. They're no longer going to let you throw around the football with your other friends, with your other, you know, your the other puppets that's out there on the field. Not talking, I'm not throwing any shade, but I'm just saying it's all about the money. And that's why I stand with Colin Kaepernick. I stand with him. I take that knee with him because I love the fact that he's like, yo, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for my people. I have a platform and I'm going to utilize my platform for the good of my people, to show that I too can stand up. I too can be a role model in another light other than just throwing a football and being an all-star quarterback. I too can hold a conversation. What Colin Kaepernick is doing right now is showing how dangerous an African-American man can be with education. A black man who's educated is scary as hell to society. Society runs from the educated black man. And that's why Colin Kaepernick still is not picked up to this day. Because they're scared exactly what he can do. They're scared to know that he can literally start a movement with just the right move. Because it only takes one move to start the right movement. So let's talk about it. Colin Kaepernick has done something that no other African-American football player has done. And if they have done it in the smallest way possible, to where the point is not getting as much national attention as Colin is. So that's why I stand with Colin Kaepernick. He's starting the movement that should have been started. He's starting the movement of showing that injustice is not going to keep going on. You're not going to keep killing my brothers and my sisters because of what reason? Because of your hatred in your heart. Because how you feel. That's not cool. So for Michael Vick to get on national TV and talk about he needs to get a clean cut, it's a joke. It's hilarious. It's BS for real, if you ask me. And Colin Kaepernick, he responded in the most educated way that you possibly could. He put up a screenshot of the definition of Stockholm syndrome. Let's talk about it. He had no words for him. I'm not even going to speak on it. I'm not even going to say nothing myself. I'm just going to give you the definition of what you're portraying right now. I'm going to give you the definition of who you have become. I'm going to give you the definition of the check that you're on your way to the bank to cash. Because at the same time, the same person that just paid you is still laughing at the both of us. Because neither one of us are playing in the NFL right now. Let's really talk about it. Neither the legacy between Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick in the NFL, if we really want to talk about it, let's do. And then to think the white man gave you a second chance, Michael Vick. The white man gave you a second chance to throw football after you killed, you know, some dogs, after you decided that you want to go do dog fighting. Why can't Colin Kaepernick get his second chance? What is he doing wrong? What did he do wrong? Other than take a knee for something that he did not stand for. He took a knee on a flag that still symbolizes slavery, that still symbolizes the pain, the agony, the hurt, the betrayal that this country has shown us time and time and time again. That's all he did. He didn't commit a crime. He didn't commit a felony. He's not a convicted felon, Michael Vick, if we really want to talk about your rap sheet. So I thought that controversy story was like, it really took me for a loop, because I'm like, I know this man did not just say that. I know he didn't just say that. I thought that was really, really, really funny. I laughed at it. I was just like, yo, this is funny. This is another person who's selling their morals and integrity for a check. Simply just selling out for a check. And that's why today's show is entitled Bossed or Be Bossed, because it's time to boss up. Colin, if he didn't want to, he didn't have to work. He doesn't have to work for anyone else any longer. He can literally start his own organization and thrive for the rest of his life because of the amount of support that he has. But he loves the game, so that's why he wants to get back into the game. I'm sure it's not just about football. I'm sure it's not for what he's doing. I'm sure it's not just like, oh, I got to play football. I got to play football. No, he just loves the game. He wants to be part of the game. And I think that that's what makes him even more beautiful. He's an educated black man, and the plus is that he can actually play a sport. That shows so much more to me than just a person who just does, I mean, a person who just plays a sport. That shows so much more to me that he can show that he is actually intelligent, and he can still throw the football at the same time. He has morals. He has values. He's going to stand up for what he believes in, and then he can still play the sport at the same time. That shows me so much more than what a Michael Vick can do any day. Honestly. And that's why today's show, once again, is Bossed or Be Bossed. We're going to have so many amazing guests on today's show that's going to talk about entrepreneurship, the importance of entrepreneurship, and why we all should enter into that world, why we all should start creating our own lanes and maximizing it to make a profit for what I'm calling generational wealth, what Tab Money was trying to teach us last week on Tab Money Habits. It's important that we do so. It's important that we leave something here for our families so they don't have to struggle, so they don't have to work for, you know, that blue collar society. So when they go to work, they have to look a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way. No, it's time that we put ourselves into business. It's time that we now make sure that our family is thriving off of our family names. That's what we should be focusing on. That's what we're going to do here today on Revive with today's show, Bossed or Be Bossed. Are you going to boss up, or are you going to continue to be bossed around by someone else making their dreams bigger and making their pockets fatter? Honestly, what are you going to do? Are you going to make the decision to be a boss, or are you going to make the decision to be bossed around? Dame Dash style. Yo, I completely love Dame Dash. He taught me, yo, if you're not watching Dame Dash podcast, if you're not following him on YouTube or any social media right now, you're tripping. Dame Dash is a complete role model of when it comes to being an entrepreneur. He gives you that oomph, like that I got to go get mine right now. He teaches you how to sprint in your own lane and still understand why you're sprinting. That is a marathon. So you still have to pace yourself at the same time. I'm in love with that method. Yo, I'm sprinting in a marathon, but I'm pacing myself all at the same time. And that's what we're going to do today here on Revive. We're going to talk to a bunch of entrepreneurs who have those key essentials that you need to know as a young entrepreneur, a startup, whatever it may be, to make sure that you are thriving in your lane and you are kicking down these doors each and every time that, you know, you are trying to pursue a business deal, you're trying to close a deal, or you're just trying to get the world to know what you are trying to do. And they're going to teach you some things here on Revive. Once again, today's show is Bossed or Be Bossed. Make sure you guys stay tuned to today's show. You can also, like I said, always make sure you guys hit us up on Facebook or Twitter and let us know how you're feeling. If you are a boss right now and you want to let us know about what you are doing, make sure you Call us 215-490-9832. If you are a boss right now, I'm calling all entrepreneurs to the Revive platform right now. If you are a boss right now, call us right now. Let us know what you are out there doing. Let us know how we can find out more about your business, because we want to support you here in Revive. We want everyone to grow in their own lanes, and we want to make sure that we're bringing back that unity through the power of communication. So in order to do that, we got to hear from you. 215-490-9832. We'll be right back after this commercial break. It's me, your girl, POC.
It was a young man who, you know, he wanted to make a lot of money. And so he went to this guru, right? And he told the guru, you know, I want to be on the same level you are. And so the guru said, if you want to be on the same level I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. He liked the beach. I said, I want to make money. I don't want to swim. Guru said, if you want to make money, I'll meet you tomorrow, 4 a.m. So the young man got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll, got on the suit. He should have wore shorts. The old man grabs his hand, said, how bad do you want to be successful? He said, real bad. He said, walk on out in the water. So he walks out into the water. Watch this. When he walks out into the water, it goes waist deep. So he like, this guy crazy. Adrian, he like, I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I want to make money. He got me in. So he said, come out a little further. Walked out a little further. Then he had it right around this area. He told the guy, he said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. And we are back live on timeforanawakening.com. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message right now. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive once again. Or you can go to TuneIn. You can download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And you will hear me, your girl, POC, each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Once again, today's show is entitled Bossed or Be Bossed. And the next guest we have coming up, I think she is a boss. I know she is a boss. She's going to be speaking at the Women's Conference we was actually just talking about with the First Lady, Michelle Obama. I'm extremely excited. excited to be talking to this next guest. Yo, Chirar, who do we have coming up on the show?
Our next guest is Jamila Payne. Jamila has built a community for goal-getting professionals, building businesses and careers while creating a work-life abundance. The movement is based on her productivity philosophy, daily success method. She's provided training for over 15,000 entrepreneurs and leaders across the U.S. and Africa. On her popular planner, Daily Success Routine, she helps people build better habits and break down goals into manageable to-do lists. She is the author of several books, including From Pain to Power and Daily Success for Teams, Seven Principles to Create an Entrepreneurial Workplace, releasing this fall. Jamila is an award-winning business owner, selected as a 40 Under 40 Entrepreneur to Watch by the Philadelphia Business Journal. She's a small business contributor for the Huffington Post, Black Enterprise Magazine, and Salesforce.com. Jamila's work has been featured in InStyle, Entrepreneur Magazine, New York Times, and the Wall Street Journal. Jamila Payne, welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm excited to be talking with you today, Jamila. I appreciate you for supporting the Revive platform as well today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Awesome. So if you can go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself in your own words, that would be awesome.
Sure. So I've been a entrepreneurial person since I was a kid. I started my first business at 10 years old. By the time I was in high school, I had a jewelry business making $500 a week. And then not long after college, started a business. So I'm really passionate about entrepreneurship, but mostly because I believe it provides pathways to freedom, both time freedom and financial freedom. And so my mission in life is to help people to achieve both time and financial freedom and to be a living example of it.
Awesome. How do you do that, though? So what would be one way that you would suggest that we start, especially when it comes to time? What would be one way?
Well, I think, you know, being in business allows you to build additional income. So I always encourage people, whether or not you're inside of a company or if you have the desire to build a business on as full-time, I think it's important to be able to bring in additional revenue streams. So these days, there's so many opportunities for that. You could, you know, have Airbnb guests. You mm-hmm. could be an Uber driver. There's all these different things you do, but can do. But I think those opportunities, earning that additional income, can help specifically with the time freedom, because you have the opportunity to take off, to travel, to see places that you know, maybe generations before you didn't. So I think, you know, part of it starts with being able to, you know, have the financial means set up. And then the other part of it is about building daily habits.
Definitely. So you said, from one thing that you said is that you have to have the financial means. So do you believe in that statement or that phrase that people always say, you have to spend money to make money?
No.
Okay.
I believe that is 100% wrong. I think you have to execute to make money. So you can make money from ideas. I mean, if you have a good idea, you can make money from it. Also look at this, you know, kind of back to what I was talking about, this whole sharing economy, right? If you have, you know, a vacant guest room in your house and it's ready to go, you can start, you know, having Airbnb guests without spending anything.
That's true.
So I think that there was a time where maybe it caused some initial output to make money, but even more so today, like, that's absolutely 100% not true. You need good ideas, you need ingenuity, and you need execution in order to make money.
That is true. That is definitely true. Do you feel as though that entrepreneurship can be generational? Do you feel as like we can pass the entrepreneurship mindset down to the next person, or is that something that someone has to want for themselves?
I believe it's 100% something that someone has to want for themselves. Being an entrepreneur, you know, you gotta be frank about it. It's a little bit crazy. You know, it's not, you know, you're going against the grain. You're doing things that are different than a lot of people around you. You know, business has its ups and downs. There's constant challenges that you might face in business. There's people that you become responsible for as you build your team and have to pay salaries. So I don't think that everybody has the stomach for entrepreneurship, but I do believe that everybody has the potential to earn additional revenue outside of whatever their main source of income is.
Definitely. So when it comes to, because this is a millennial show, so I'm speaking towards, well, we're both speaking right now towards, you know, the millennial generation. So when it comes to the millennial generation, do you think that technology has put a halt or has put a downturn or a downfall to us now becoming entrepreneurs because technology is taking over? You know, you can get a robot to do what we could do. You know what I mean? Do you think that technology is putting a halt to what we are capable of doing?
No, I think technology is great and that it's an asset right now, especially for millennials, because it creates this massive opportunity. So, you know, let's go back to something that's a while ago, but, you know, not too crazy if we look at something like the early 2000s. You know, in the early 2000s, you couldn't just simply set up a website or look at e-commerce shop, right? You had to have the capital to be able to build that kind of system. Now you can utilize technology for things like Shopify to be able to set up an e-commerce shop. And I also fully believe that we're in what I call the age of the expert. And that simply means that a lot of people have an expertise, something that they have gained their own experience in or have learned over time from their work environment that they can teach and show other people how to do that. And so technology gives millennials an opportunity to be able to spread their expertise through social media, through courses, through YouTube and all these other channels where you can be able to connect with pieces and connect with people from anywhere in the world. And I think the final thing I'll say about the benefit of technology is it starts to level the playing field between bigger business and smaller businesses. Mm-hmm. And so now you could be a person working in your home office doing business with people who are in another country. Mm-hmm. This kind of access is provided because of technology. Things have become a lot easier to connect. And so I think it creates a huge opportunity if you have, you know, any kind of idea or expertise or thought leadership that you want to share. Like, now's the time for millennials especially to really be able to spread that using technology.
Definitely. So do you feel as though that there's any level of education that a person has to have in order to be an entrepreneur?
That's a very good question. I would say that entrepreneurship really comes from the school of hard knocks. You can, you know, take courses and things like that that will give you some fundamentals. They will help you with some basics. But ultimately, you're going to learn the most that you're going to learn from being in the trenches. Now, I would say that it's extremely helpful if a person can get a mentor. And that doesn't mean that mentor is going to, you know, spend all their time with you, but you seek out people's guidance who have come before you, who have accomplished things that you want to accomplish. I think that's also a great way to get education and be able to build your business. But I can tell you, you know, as a person who's, you know, had the benefit of like going to college, who's had the benefit of getting my MBA, Like, you really learn business by doing it. There's no school that I feel adequately prepares you for the real world experience of being a business owner.
I agree with you on that one. Definitely. You can read it out of a book. I encourage people to read, definitely. But actually being hands-on and having that experience hands-on is completely different from learning it out of a textbook. So I definitely agree with that one. But before I let you go today, I want to give you phrases. And I want to do something where I give you some phrases and you tell me the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the phrases. So these are phrases that you will hear in your everyday life. You know, if you are a business person or an entrepreneur, you will hear these phrases. Is that okay?
Okay.
Awesome. The first phrase I'm going to give you, less is more. What's the first thing that comes to
friends.
Your mind? Friends.
Okay. Friendship.
Begin with the ending mind goal.
I think about money math when you say that. Okay. The idea of money math comes to mind.
Okay. Flip-flop.
Reaching a financial goal, that's what I mean.
Okay.
Flip-flop. The beach.
Okay. Break your patterns.
Daily routine. Definitely. Build good daily routine.
Fail forward.
I think about taking risks.
Yes.
Doing what you care about.
I love that one. And one more. Expect the unexpected.
I think about good things coming in ways that you don't anticipate.
Definitely. I love your answers. Definitely. But I do, before Ms. Jamila, before we let you go here on Revive, you are going to be speaking on October 3rd. I think that is truly amazing. And what are you going to be actually bringing to that conference when you speak to us? Because I'm going to be in the audience. Well, I'm actually going to be a volunteer. So what are you going to be bringing to that conference?
Oh, man. Yeah, the PA Women's Conference is going to be exciting. I'm going to be doing a couple of different sessions, mostly around productivity and career transition. And I'm also going to have a booth at the conference. So I would invite everyone who's listening to the show to definitely come and check out the Daily Success Routine booth and say hello and let me know that you heard this interview. I'll definitely be at the table, and I might even be doing a book signing as well. So it's going to be really fun. And Michelle Obama is going to be there.
I think
really
that's
great.
Amazing. I'm definitely going to stop by your table, and I'm going to spread the word as much as possible on my show up until that date so everyone knows that you're going to be in the building, as well as just to come and attend and follow on social media. I think it's going to be an amazing event. So much Black girl excellence going to be in the building. Black girl magic is going to be there. I'm really excited about it. But before you leave as well, can you let the people know where they can find some more information, your social media, your websites, and things like that?
Yeah, sure. So my website is dailysuccessroutine.com, all one word. And you can find me on Instagram, on my personal page at Jamila Payne, which is JamilaPayne, or on Instagram on my business page, which is also Daily Success Routine.
Perfect. I thank you, Ms. Jamila, for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us today with our episode, Bossed or Be Bossed. I really do appreciate it. And I wish you many, many, many blessings on your future endeavors.
Thank you so much. And same to you. Look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
So that wraps up another great episode here in Revive with Ms. Jamila Payne. If you're in Philly right now, if you're not attending that conference, you don't know which you are going to miss. Definitely, it's going to be a lot of amazing, amazing women entrepreneurs, a lot of people who are there to just put instill that, you know, that Black girl magic that we already have. They're just going to bring it up out of us. So I'm really excited to be attending that conference, especially with someone like Ms. Jamila Payne, who is an entrepreneur, who's doing her thing. She's writing books, she's teaching classes, she's doing so many different things to help us, you know, move forward in life and making sure that we are our own bosses today. Definitely. I do think we do have a caller on the line as well, so I'm going to try to get to this caller before we go to the next commercial break. Hey, caller, what's your name and where you're calling from? You're live on Revive.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Keshawn Thompson. I was calling. I heard Ms. Payne talking about being a boss, and I just want to say that great job, you know. I feel like you're doing a wonderful thing out here in Philadelphia, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I definitely appreciate you. Did you have any comments on what we were talking about earlier, or boss or be boss? Are you a boss yourself?
Well, yes. Actually, own a family-owned business in Philadelphia. Me and my brother Carlos Thompson. We own a, I'm a staffing agency. We staff out teachers to daycares and youth centers.
Awesome.
In Philadelphia. KingStaffing.com.
I was just about to say, how can we? So, do you guys have any social media you want to shout out as well?
KingStaffing.com. I said no. That's our business page.
Okay.
On Facebook, it's King Staffing as well on Facebook. You can find all the information on there. You can apply for a job as well. We are employing students fresh out of college or in college looking for part-time opportunities and jobs. You know?
That's awesome.
Just check us out. KingStaffing.com.
I appreciate you supporting the Revive platform. We're definitely going to put that on our timeline for you. I appreciate you.
No problem at all. And I just want to say also that Revive, this is actually one of my first times actually sitting down and listening to a Revive. And I want to say that this is very empowering. And I think that's great for more folks to join in and really like just pay attention, because we got some good stuff here. That's really great for everybody to listen to and to hear.
Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate Revive for having this platform.
I appreciate you for supporting the platform. We got to keep it alive. Thank you. Spread the word.
No problem, madam. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so that that was a great call. I appreciate that caller and all his comments. That was really, really cool. But yes, to get back onto the show today, it's called show is entitled Bossed or Be Bossed. Yo, Trueheart, you bossing up or you being bossed around? How you feeling today?
I'm a boss. We should keep it gross. No, but seriously, I'm a boss. Everybody, go follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's where you can find all your daily inspirational posts, motivation, and so much more coming down the pipeline. So you do not want to miss it. Just give myself a little shout out. How you feeling today, POC? There was a great caller and about to go promo for King Staffing, which is seems to be a very, very great, a great way. He employs students. He employs people fresh out of college. What better way? Talk about communicating and talk about networking.
Definitely. And we did miss you on the Truth Series this past Sunday. So what would you have been talking about if you was on the, you know, if you was live on these airways on Sunday? What would you have mentioned, put out there for us to know when it comes to bossed or be bossed? What you got for us today? Something slight, though, because, you know, you can go off on tangents. Something slight.
The Truth Series would have been entitled, Are You Ready? So when we talk about boss or be boss, you really have to ask yourself, are you ready to, one, take that leap of faith, two, really, really commit? You can commit and figure it out later. And is your mind ready? Is your mind ready to take the leap of faith? Because your mind has to get there before your body will. And Jamila, I love her interview. And she stated it best. Everybody doesn't have the stomach to endure entrepreneurship. However, if you're going to bite that bullet, so to speak, you just have to know that it's going to be some bumps and bruises in the road. But when you make that decision and you take that leap of faith, you really have to ask yourself, are you ready? And then when you jump, you either go and sink or swim, and nobody's sinking. So that's a little taste.
Man, the crazy part is, if I'm going to speak from my life experiences, I ain't even asked myself. I just did it. Because I felt like the more and more I asked myself, the more and more I was intimidating myself not to do it. So I really just had to jump out there. I just woke up one morning and was like, today is the day that I'm going to do it. And I actually did it. I became my own boss. I put in my paperwork. You know what I mean? I solidified myself as being the CEO of Revive. And that is something that I will never take back. That is a story that I'm going to continue to tell so people can jump out there and do the exact same thing. And by me doing that, I was able to get, today I got an accolade for that. You know what I mean? Today someone noticed me actually jumping out there and being a boss as I was about to get on the air, you know, I was about to get on the mic and talk about bossing up. And that really, really, it was so heart-filling. Honestly, it was really, truly heart-filling. So shout out to Queens. Make sure you guys are following them both on Facebook and Twitter and also Instagram. Girls2Queens. I apologize. I misspoke. It's Girls2Queens, the number two. So definitely go follow them on all three social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They gave me a huge shout out today. And I thought that was really, really amazing. And I, I'm out here working. So you never know who's watching. You never know who's going to support. You never know who's actually going to invest into your business and your dream and your idea. But do not take a babysitter. That is one thing that I'm going to give you guys today. Do not take a babysitter. You do not need anyone to babysit your ideas. You don't need anyone to babysit your dreams. You just need help and support and guidance along the way. And so many people get discouraged because you're waiting for someone to hand walk you through, you know, your dream. No one's going to do that. You got to go get that on your own. You got to go believe it for yourself. In order for other people to believe what you're trying to do and what you're trying to put out here in this world, you have to believe it for yourself. So if you feel like you need a babysitter to do that, of course no one's going to be there for you to keep you going, because they're like, you got to want it for yourself in order to do that. And that's why today's show, once again, is called Bossed or Be Bossed. We want to know who's out there bossing up right now, calling all entrepreneurs to the Revive platform right now. If you are someone who has a business, a startup, anything like that, please give us a call, 215-490-9832, and make sure you guys are listening and spreading the word, because we have a lot of great guests coming on the Revive platform today telling you about how they started in their entrepreneurship light and how you guys can thrive in your lane as well. We do have our next guest coming up onto the Revive platform. I'm extremely excited to have her on the show too as well, because she is an alumni at my university, so I'm really excited for that. Chuar, who do we have coming up on the Revive platform?
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Bernadette L. Harris. Bernadette Harris is a tax and forensic accountant, a number one best-selling author, keynote speaker, and a QuickBooks trainer who helps clients set their business upright, look forward to tax season, and protect their business from fraud. Her sense of humor and ability to make complex subjects like taxes and accounting simple and fun has made her an in-demand speaker. Bernadette Harris, welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm excited to be speaking with you. I'm doing great today. I know she just introduced you, but if you can go ahead and introduce yourself, that would be amazing. Tell the people a little bit about what you do.
So, like she said, I am a tax and forensic accountant. Most people know what the tax piece is. That means that I do taxes and I do tax planning. And the forensic accounting piece is the more interesting piece. And this is the piece where I actually work with business owners on two sides. I either help them protect their business from fraud. That's ideal. And then the other side is I actually investigate frauds after they've happened. So I work with business owners who have been victims of fraud, and I help to investigate it, prepare reports so that they can move to the next step, whatever that is. It may be prosecution, restitution, whatever the case may be. So that's what I do. I am a number one best-selling author.
Congratulations, definitely.
And my book is called Did You Hire a Fraud? And this is a book where I teach business owners basically the steps, the signs, the schemes that employees may perpetrate against you, and just, you know, kind of giving you the playbook so that you're not the next victim of fraud.
Definitely. So give us one scenario that, you know, you have been up against, or a company has been up against when it came to fraud. Give us one quick scenario.
Okay. So there's a story in the book, and this is actually, you know what, I'm going to give your listeners a free chapter. So this is going to be the free chapter that I'll give them. And in the book, I'll give you the short version and they can read the chapter. But in this book, in this story, a business owner owned a very successful T-shirt shop. He hired a bookkeeper, and she had 20 years of experience, very, very impressive background. Long story short, over a 7-year period of time, she sold $325,000 from this business owner.
Wow.
He did not know she was stealing money. His business was losing money. Well, he thought his business was losing money. Let's say that. He started selling his assets. He took money out of his retirement account, all these things to keep the business afloat, only to later learn that the bookkeeper was stealing from him. And he's now out of business. He had to file bankruptcy. And so people think that fraud doesn't happen, or it doesn't happen here, or my business is small, or it's not going to happen here. Don't think anybody that thinks that are usually the people who become victims.
Definitely. That's crazy. The person who watching your books is the one stealing money from you?
Man. And that's usually the case. It's usually the people that you least expect. So it could be the bookkeeper. I tell another story in the book where we talk about it being the assistant. It's usually the people that, but it's usually the people that you trust the most, and they just kind of take advantage of those trusts. And so what I do is, I don't want business owners to stop trusting people, but I just want business owners to understand how to give those duties, assign those duties, and put controls in place so that you're not taken, you know, so that if you do have a bookkeeper, then you know the kind of things to look out for, the things to watch for. Yeah.
Definitely. So do you, when it comes down to doing what you do with the fraud part, do you go looking for the businesses or the business come directly to you?
They find me. A lot of it, I mean, I've been in business for 16 years, so I've built relationships with lots of people, and people know me, you know, so they need, sometimes it's people like, oh, I saw one of your Facebook lives, or, you know, or I saw you on LinkedIn, or I saw something. So they may find me, but no, I never say, hey, you guys got any fraud over there? You need to investigate. No,
that would definitely sound a little weird. All right, that was a good one. Definitely.
But yeah, they always find me. Always find me.
So this is a millennial show. So you're talking to millennial entrepreneurs right now. I'm hoping a lot of millennial entrepreneurs right now are tuning in to make sure they're, you know, taking their notes right now. What is one thing that you would tell, you know, the millennial generation when it comes to technology that they should watch out for, you know, because I think technology makes it a little easier to be scammed. So what is one thing that you would say when it comes to technology and running a business like that, that they should watch out for?
So here's the thing. So in most cases, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
True.
And so you definitely want to vet stuff. You want to pay attention to what people are saying, what they're not saying, check out their credentials. One of the great things about technology is you could check somebody out really quickly. So if you go right now to Google and you Google Bernadette Harris Atlanta, all kind of stuff is going to come up and it'll be about me. And so if you're engaging with someone, if you're hiring someone to work with you in your business, check them out, Google them. If they don't come up on Google, that might be a red flag. Like, why don't you have anything on Google? Because you don't have to put stuff, you know, you don't have to pay for the stuff that shows up on Google. That's just things that are just organically happening. So when you have somebody that's not showing up on Google, or they don't have good references or things like that, then you may want to check that out. Like, don't believe everything that you see. Like, there are a lot of business owners out there that are, what we say, they're fronting. they look good. You know, they look good on paper, but, you know, you just want to kind of check those things out. Don't, in addition to using technology, don't forget about some of the old school stuff. Pick up the phone and call somebody and say, hey, what do you think about Bernadette? Have you worked with her before? What's your experience been like? You know,
so use your references, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you have written 4 books right now, Ms. Bernadette. I'm extremely excited for you. So can you tell us a little bit more about the books that you have written?
So the very first book that I wrote was called Business Blueprint. And the reason that I wrote that book is because I, being in the position that I was, that I'm in, working with small business owners, I kept seeing business owners make the same mistakes over and over again. And unfortunately, I didn't catch the first part of your show, but you may have talked about this. But I was seeing people make the same mistakes over and over and again. So I said, well, maybe if I write a book, and in this book, I share with them how to start your business the right way, set it up the right way, create the things that you need to create in your business, then maybe less businesses will fail, and they will not, because they were coming to me after they jacked everything up. and so my hope was, like, if I write this book, then maybe they'll read the book and they won't jack it up, and then, you know, and they'll stay in business. And so that was the first book. My second book I wrote is called Life in Basketball. This book I talked about, this is a book that I co-authored with my college basketball coach. And because I'm a former basketball player. And so we wrote a book about how the lessons that we learned in basketball, how they translated and helped us to be successful in life. So that was a really fun project that she and I did together. So that was book number 2. Book number 3 was Business Blueprint 2.0, so it was the updated version. So I wrote that one like 6 years later. So I updated book one. Just, you know, because a lot of stuff changed in 6 years, right? Even the way we do business has changed in Definitely. 6 years. So I wrote that one last year. And then this last book I just wrote a month ago. In fact, I launched it last month in June, and it's called Did You Hire a Fraud? And this is the book that hit number one on Amazon. In this book, that's where I talk about the safeguards that you can put in place to prevent it. And this is the thing. A lot of times people think, well, I don't have employees. I don't need this information. Well, at some point, if you want to grow, you're going to have employees. You're going to have to bring people onto your team because you can't grow by yourself. You have to have somebody. And so when you get to that point, you want to know, what are the things that I need to put in place to make sure that none of these people are taking money from me?
Agreed. That is amazing. And how can people find your book right now? How can we go purchase that book right now?
So you go to Amazon. It's the Kindle version of the book is on Amazon. Or you can go to my personal website is trustbernadette.com. So you can get, there's links to all of the books on that site if you want the paperback of the book. But you can download the Kindle version on Amazon right now for those books.
Definitely. We're going to put that out on our timeline so that people can find that and get, you know, go get a book, definitely, so they can figure out if they got any fraud in their business, definitely. So what is three things that you will leave us with when it comes to being a successful business entrepreneur?
Okay, so these are the three things. These are three things that when a client comes to me and says, I want to start a business, what do I need to do? Okay, so these are my three S's. And so I say that you need to make sure that you have the right setup. You need to have the right squad. You need to have the right systems. So what does that mean? So when we talk about the setup, and this, it's basically how your business is set up. What's the legal structure of your business? Are you going to have partners? Is it going to just be you? Are you going to be an LLC? Are you going to be an INC? Are you going to be a sole proprietorship? Whatever the case may be, and understanding that the setup that you choose for your business is not the setup that your cousin chose. You know, I get so sick of people saying, oh, my cousin is an LLC, so I should be one too. No, you need to be what you need to be. You know, like, it's up to you. Every situation is totally different. And so you need to make sure that you are set up based on the status that's going to help you to achieve your personal goals. And it's going to fit your scenario. So that's the setup. The squad, those are the people that are on your team. So even if you're in business by yourself, you still need a team. You still need people in your business to help you. And some of the people that you definitely need to have on your squad from day one is you need a good accountant. You need a good attorney. Now, you might not use your attorney all the time. Some people think, oh, I can't afford an attorney right now. Listen, when I tell you, you can't afford not to have an attorney. You know? And so you want to make sure that you can't afford to, if you have a conversation with an accountant, preferably me, no, if you have a conversation with an accountant before you start your business and you talk about the things that you want to do, it's going to save you money. Because let me tell you, I always tell clients, you can pay $100 for a consultation now, or you could pay me $1,000 to fix the mess that you made later. You know, and so you kind of pick, like, which one are you going to do? And most people will say they can't afford that $100 consultation, so they're going to go mess stuff up, and either they'll be out of business in 2 years or they'll be at my door because the IRS is about to shut them down. So you pick, you know, so that's the squad. And then the systems are the things that you need to have in place to make sure that your business is running successfully. And these are the things that I talk about in the second half of Business Blueprint, both 2.0. And in that book, I talk about, you know, what are your systems going to look like? Like, I cannot stand, and I don't know if I'm step on anybody's toes. And if I do, then just crunch them up and just take the advice and just, you know, like take the medicine, you know? So listen, if you're in business and you're selling something and you tell me that I got to email you so you can send me an invoice and I'm not doing all that. I'm not doing all of that. So what are you going to put in place so that when I'm ready to buy from you, All I got to do is just put my credit card number in. So many people don't have stuff like that set up. Email me and I'll send you a PayPal invoice, and then you can or send it to me as a family and friends, because I don't want to pay the fee. I don't want to do business with nobody like that. If you are selling fish dinners, then fine. You could do that kind of thing. Email, send me the money through friends and family on PayPal or whatever. But if you have a real business, you need to have your stuff set up in a way that makes it easy. You want to make it easy for people to give you money. Listen, my clients don't have a problem with paying me because I have multiple ways that you can pay me. It's easy. It's not hard. It's not a hassle. So when you talk about your system, you need to have systems in place. If somebody wants to schedule an appointment with me, they go to BibleBookAccounting.com right now and schedule an appointment at 9:00 at night. You don't have to call the office when my assistant is there to answer the phone. You can schedule an appointment at 2:00 in the morning. And because I have that system in place. And so with businesses, you got to think about what are some of the systems, what are some of the things that's going to make you, one, more efficient in business, and two, make you more profitable in business. And so those are the three things that I teach people. Get that right setup, get your squad, and get your system. And you get those things tight, you will be successful in business.
You just talked heavy. You just had some heavy talk right there. I was tuned in, taking my notes. You definitely was talking heavy, especially with the squad. That was that basketball IQ coming in. You said, because when you was like, you got to have a lawyer, I'm like, yeah, you got to have a post player. All right, I understand what you're talking about right now. So I know what you're talking about. I'm going to be the guard. You're going to be the post, and we're going to work this thing out. So I definitely agree with you on that one. Definitely. Thank you for that blueprint right there. But it sound, based on what you were saying, you were saying it so passionately, and it sounded like you came up through someone who either mentored you or guided you, you know, to get the mindset that you have right now. Who's one of the mentors or, someone who's guiding you through how you're getting it done? Like, who would be that person for you right now?
You know, when I think about it, entrepreneurship was never on my radar. Most people can't believe that, especially having been in business. I've been in business since 2001.
You sound super passionate.
I was going to get my little accounting degree, and I was going to get me a little job and work for 30 years and retire. I bought that. You know what I mean? I bought that dream. Like, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my little job and retire 30 years with my pension and get Social Security and that. And so entrepreneurship was never on my radar. Like, and so I don't have any, like, family members to say, oh, I'm wanting to be an entrepreneur like so-and-so. It really isn't. And I got bit by the entrepreneurship bug probably about 1996, 97. I can't remember the exact year. And this is so crazy. One of my cousins started selling Mary Kay. And so she, you had a little Mary Kay party and you invite all the people you know. So she invited us all over for this Mary Kay party. And I went. And I was just going to support my cousin. That's what you do, right? And so I go to the Mary Kay party, and they had this lady, and she was a pink Cadillac driver. And it was more than just a party. It was like, I'm thinking I'm just going to go get me some lipstick and eyeliner and go home, because I didn't even wear foundation and stuff like that back then. So she came, and she gave this presentation, and she presented the whole idea of owning your own business. And I sat back and said, whoa. I can do that. And that's when I got excited about being an entrepreneur. So my very first business, I was a Mary Kay consultant back in, I think I joined Mary Kay like in 1998. I did it for a couple of years and then I went on to something else, but that's where I got bit by it. But I started doing my accounting business because when I was in Mary Kay, it was so many people that were saying jacked up stuff like, I claimed this on my taxes. And I'm like, of course I knew taxes. I had an accounting degree, right? So I'm doing taxes. And I'm like, you can't claim that. That's not how you do it. And so I was realizing, like, there were a lot of people who were in business, but they didn't know what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, And so I said, well, let me start a business so I can start teaching people how to do what they do. Because a business doesn't fail because they don't know how to run their business. Like, bakeries don't go out of business because their red velvet cake was jacked. They can bake a red velvet cake. It's just they don't know how to run a bakery.
That's so true.
And so That's what I do. I teach you how to run a business, which is totally different from baking a cake, fixing hair, practicing law, fixing cars, selling CDs, or whatever it is. That's totally different. Doing what you do, you know how to do that. You don't need no help with that. You got that. It's the running the business part, and that's where I come in. And I'm, like, real, real passionate about it because entrepreneurship changed my life. It changed my life. Because I was an entrepreneur, my daughter is grown now, but because of being an entrepreneur, these last 16 years, she's 22, I never missed a concert. I never missed PTA. Man. I was on PTA. I was at every single school conference. Whatever she was doing, I was there. I was able to be there. I didn't have to ask nobody, can I take off to go to my daughter's chorus concert? It was like, I'm closing the office. I'm going to my daughter's concert. It wasn't no question about it. And so entrepreneurship just changed my life, and I want that for other people. So that's the passion that you hear, because it's like, man, I need you to catch some of this.
Definitely. I'm trying to come get that, because you just made me jealous. I was like, I just put in my request the other day to take off. You know what I mean? So the fact that you were just like, I'm just closing the office. I'm making this move so I can go do something that makes me happy as I'm still working for myself that's making me happy. I think that's truly amazing. That you're a walking testimony right now, Ms. Bernadette. But before
let me just tell this one quick story. So my daughter, I wanted my daughter to go to a particular school. And in my county, you can do what's called a permissive transfer where you ask the school to accept them. But if you get a permissive transfer, you have to provide transportation. So that meant she wasn't going to get a school bus. But I wanted her to go to this school. And so I did the permissive transfer, and I had to take her to school every morning, which was like, you know how school starts at, like, when it's dark outside, right? Mm-hmm. And then I used to have to leave work every day at 2:30 to go pick her up from school. But I just had that blocked on my schedule. Like, don't schedule me any appointments from this time to this time because I got to go pick my daughter up from school. Mm-hmm. And I never realized how powerful that was until, like, when she graduated, and I'm like, she graduated from the school that I wanted her to go to. And I didn't have to keep, what job was going to let me take off at 2:30 every day to go pick my daughter up from school?
That is so true. Or you was going to be getting there like 6 o'clock in the morning, so you wasn't able to take her to school. So either way, you was going to be missing out.
Right. But I didn't, yeah.
That's an amazing story. And once again, you are truly a walking testimony. You are where so many of us millennials dream about each and every day. I'm going to speak for myself. I know I'm dreaming to get where you are right now. I want to definitely make my own schedule. I want to be on my own time. You know what I mean? When my watch is, going off, it's not because I got somewhere to be. It's because I got something to do. It's so many different things that I'm trying to do. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, especially coming from Cheney as well, because I have a lot of Cheney listeners on the show. Because I'm a Cheney alumni as well. I graduated in 2014. So I thought that was really, really big to have you coming back onto the show to show that, the HBCU students can make it too. We can thrive too in our own
way. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. But I want to ask you this last question before I let you go today. Which concept appeals most to you and why? Think different or a traditional way of excellence?
Girl, now based on all this stuff I just told you, I'm on that think different.
Think different?
Yes. You,
why,
because,
though?
Yeah, we got enough of everybody is made. We're all individuals. And there is absolutely no reason for us to be like anybody else.
That is definitely true. And I thank you, Ms. Bernadette, for coming onto the show today. One more time, if you can tell us where we can find your book, we can purchase the book, your social media, websites, anything like that, for anyone who needs some help with the fraud activity that's going on in their business right now.
Right. Or just setting the business up. So my social media is, I'm on all social media at Trust Bernadette. If you send me a LinkedIn request, please customize it and say like you, because I don't accept everybody on LinkedIn. I'm just going to tell you that now. So if you don't send me a personalized request on LinkedIn, I probably won't accept you. But anywhere else, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Trust Bernadette. My website is trustbernadette.com, and you can go to the website and there are links to purchase any of my books on there.
Definitely. And I want to ask you a quick question. Why did you go with Trust Bernadette? Why did you go with the trust part first?
Because, well, I actually worked with a branding coach when we were trying to come up with that. So it's kind of a couple of reasons. One, Bernadette is so long, I needed a short word that was powerful that I could make all my handles. You know, like Twitter got the little, you can't have so many characters on there. So that was a part of the strategy. But trust was kind of, in everything that I do, it's going to require trust. I mean, to get somebody to help you to set up your business, requires trust. It needs to be somebody that you can trust to help, somebody to kind of help you through the emotional and the financial piece of recovering from fraud. Is going to take somebody that you trust. And so trust is in a lot of what I do. And so it just made sense.
It does make sense, definitely, because you got to have trust in order, especially for the amount of work that you're doing for people. I appreciate you once again, Ms. Bernadette, for coming on the Revive platform. You're always welcome back to come on the Revive platform. If you drop another book, anything like that, we would love for you to showcase it here on the platform today. And I appreciate you once again, and I wish you many, many blessings in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Good luck with your show as well.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
So that wraps up another quick interview with Bernadette Harris. I'm really excited to have her on the show. She was an amazing guest. She dropped so many gems and dimes for us today. She kept it real. Honestly, she kept it real with us. It got to be right for you. What's for you is for you, pretty much is what she was saying. She's a Cheney grad, so shout out to Cheney University. Always, definitely. The first HBCU. I'm going to push that to the forefront always. But once again, today's show is entitled Bossed or Be Bossed. And once again, our guest, Ms. Bernadette Harris, taught us and showed us the way of how we should boss up here. She gave us the blueprint. So definitely make sure you guys go out there and cop that book. We put it on our timelines on both Facebook and Twitter. So make sure you guys go cop that book so you can have the blueprint as well. And also, if you got some frauds in your business, go cop that book. She got the best-selling author right now on Amazon. So make sure you guys go on Amazon and support that movement always. We are going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after this commercial break. Make sure you guys stay tuned and spread the word that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Also, give us a call, 215-490-9832. And we are live tweeting and posting on both Facebook and Twitter. So if you're not right now listening to the show, but you are near a device, make sure you guys go like some stuff on both Facebook and Twitter. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Closer look at 12 foods that can strengthen your bones and put that spring back into a man's step. 1. Eggs. Scrambled or boiled, eggs can provide you with a bountiful supply of vitamin D. This vitamin plays a key role in how well a man can sustain a normal level of testosterone in his blood. It's recommended that you eat 1 egg per day, but those who have trouble with cholesterol should skip the yolk. 2. Garlic. With its powerful antifungal, antiviral, and antibacterial properties, this anti-aging superfood can help you fight off illness and infections. Just add it to any of your favorite foods for a flavor boost. 3. Honey. Instead of reaching for sugar, choose a small spoonful of honey as a substitute. Add it to your tea, oatmeal, or pancakes. Honey's antioxidants can strengthen your immune system and help you win the battle when infections strike. 4. Watermelon. A juicy watermelon is a great summer treat, but it can also improve blood circulation and your entire circulatory system. Eat it as a snack, add it to salad, or whip up a sorbet. 5. Cauliflower. Adding a small amount of cauliflower to your daily diet can reduce estrogen while boosting testosterone. 6. Grapes. By eating a handful of grapes a day, a man's testosterone levels will rise and sperm activity will also increase. Additionally, the nutrients in grapes can slow down the aging process. 7. Oysters. Oysters are little vaults stuffed full of vitamins and minerals that enhance your heart's health and boost your immune system. Just sprinkle a little lemon juice and salt to preserve their nutrients. 8. Meat. Too much meat isn't beneficial for your health, but it does play a significant role in increasing testosterone levels. Just be sure to eat meat that's organic and has come from a grass-fed source. 9. Beans. Beans can be added to most any side dishes, soups, or salads. These heart-healthy foods also help men maintain normal testosterone levels. 10. Tuna. Vitamin D-rich tuna is good for your heart, but just remember to buy tuna that has not been exposed to mercury. 11. Pomegranates. Pomegranate juice is an excellent source of potent antioxidants, which can tackle free radicals before they can disrupt circulatory functions. Also, the International Journal of Impotence Research states that nearly 50% of impotent men notice their condition improved after drinking only one glass of pomegranate juice. 12. Cabbage. Men who eat cabbage ingest the chemical indole-3 carbinol, or IC3, which eliminates female hormones. A Rockefeller University study noted that men who consume 500 milligrams daily for 7 days saw their estrogen levels cut in half.
Everyone is sorry. Everyone says, I won't do it again. Bottom line, drinking under the age of 21 is illegal. Drinking and driving is illegal. It's the law. There are consequences. The consequences of driving under the influence are huge. You will do community service, lose your driver's license, get arrested, do jail time. If you get arrested for DUI, the costs to defend yourself are very expensive. Your parents can be forced to pay for lawsuits, legal fees, and damage to people or property. DUI can also ruin your chances to get into college or get a good job. The law doesn't stop at drinking and driving. If you're underage, there are consequences for buying alcohol with a fake ID, for being in possession of alcohol, and for any consumption of alcohol. Think twice. Don't drink. Don't drink and drive. Speak up.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness.
POC.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears.
Welcome back to Revive. Make sure you guys are spreading the word, spreading the message that we are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or just go download the TuneIn app or go directly to the TuneIn website and just search Time for an Awakening and you will hear me, your girl POC, each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Definitely spread the word. Tell the people that Revive is alive each and every day. Follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. Once again, that is Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you guys follow that timeline. We are live tweeting and posting each and every time we get on these airwaves. So make sure you guys go do that. Also, go click that subscribe button right now. I got to put that in my link. I'm going to put that in the link in my bio or something, because I need some people to subscribe to this newsletter so you guys can stay up to date on what's going on with the Revive team, the up and coming events that we are participating in, the things that you need to know that's going on and around the cities and communities that we live in. Definitely, we want to put that information out there so you guys can know what's buzzing here on these streets. We got to get back to what's buzzing. I can't wait till Sunday. On Sunday, we have an amazing guest coming up, and we're going to be talking about some politics. It's a lot going on in this world, and I need some help to talk about it here on Revive. So I'm going to have a special guest come on to help me with the What's Buzzing series this Sunday. Yes, his name is Keith. I don't have his exact last name right now, but because I don't want to put his business out there, but I'm just going to give his first name. His name is Keith. He's going to come on the Revive platform, and he's going to have a great conversation with me surrounding politics. But once again, today's show is entitled Bossed or Be Bossed. We want to know what you guys are doing out there. Are you out there being bossed, or are you out there bossing up? We want to know what you guys are doing. Give us a call, 215-490-9832. Hit us up on Facebook or Twitter as well. Let us know if you are a young entrepreneur, a startup business, anything. Let us know how you are out there thriving in your own lane, how you even created that lane for yourself. Let us know here on Revive, because we want to give you a platform to showcase your talent, you know, your business, whatever you may have. Yo, Chura, you were saying something before we came back from the commercial break. Before we get to our next guest, we do see you on the line. Stay with us. We have two amazing guests coming up on the Revive platform. Trueheart, what were you saying about entrepreneurship prior to ending the commercial break?
That our last two guests have just been phenomenal. When you said that this was a jam-packed show, you weren't lying, and there's more to come. But I was stating that there's so much to entrepreneurship. It's not just the glitz and the glamour. And Bernadette actually brought up a great point, and it resonated with me, because our guest before, Nataki from Let's Buy Back 365, she said, you guys have to have an accountant and an attorney. And that was the second time hearing that. So those two people in your squad, they have to be there, because you don't want to be cheap in the beginning and then you run into problems later. So, of course, we have a lot of young business owners and different things of that nature. But being a business owner myself, I feel like all the guests just dropped some knowledge, and I feel like we have money to invest, so we just have to invest in ourselves.
So we do have a call on the line before we get to our next guest. I want to get to this caller. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? All right. So I guess we lost that caller. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes,
hello? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Great. Great. Just wanted to make sure I got my headset in. Yeah, this is Michael Baptiste, the young 28-year-old entrepreneur who's founded two successful companies, one in college and one shortly after college. And just wanted to call in and say hello to everybody.
Awesome. So you're actually our guest that's coming up on the Revive platform as well. So we're just going to get this conversation started. We're going to introduce you before. We're going to introduce you really quick to the listening audience, and then we're going to get this conversation rolling.
We have Michael Baptiste. Michael is the founder and CEO of High Ticket Freedom. He helps entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants all over the world build 5- and 6-figure monthly businesses from scratch. Michael consults with high-level businesses to help produce ROI for their digital marketing campaigns. His clients have earned enough money and time freedom to do some great things like travel the world, move into bigger homes, and more. Michael is also a co-founder of the world's first ever non-dairy banana wave banana milk beverage. His partners and team have launched their company from a single idea startup company to an award-winning business that has gone on to raising over $750,000 in capital investment. And now the product is selling in Whole Foods grocery store. He speaks Spanish and Mandarin. Michael is a world changer.
Hey, Michael, welcome to the Revive platform. I was so amazed how you came on. You had so much energy. I hope you keep that energy up through the entire show.
Oh, definitely. I definitely will. Thank you very much for being here. And I appreciate that introduction. I'm just like, man, I can't believe that's actually me.
Definitely. But we do have another guest that we're going to introduce as well, because we're going to have a great conversation today here about entrepreneurship. So we're going to introduce our next guest as well. Yo, Chura, who else is on the platform for us today?
On the Revive platform, we have Carrie Young. Carrie has had a passion for healing as far back as she can recall. With a formal education in both psychology and biology from Westchester University, Carrie worked as a psychiatric rehabilitation counselor for almost a decade. Feeling unfulfilled and overworked, Carrie pursued the spa industry. Carrie received her massage certification from the Institute for Therapeutic Massage and Bodywork. Her skills extend far beyond clinical. Her treatments are described by her clients as a fusion of science, art, nature, and more importantly, love. Since founding Remedy Spa and Wellness in 2014, she has been committed to helping the community heal from the inside out. She anticipates launching a wellness and lifestyle blog titled Ask Carrie in August. Welcome to the Revive Platform, Carrie.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and
clear. I'm good. I wasn't sure if I hit the right button.
No, you are.
How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm excited to have both you and Mike on the show today talking about entrepreneurship. I wanted to do it this way so we can have a conversation about it, so the people can actually, you know, feel us a little bit more when it comes to entrepreneurship. So we actually did get a question on Twitter that I want to get to, and I'm going to start with you, Carrie. It said, can you be an entrepreneur if you are a sore loser? I thought that was a really great question.
I don't think so. I think you have to have thick skin. And in order to succeed as an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to fail. So I don't think you could be a sore loser, because I feel like sore losers give up because they get mad because they don't win.
Talk about it. You definitely
have to, you know, have thick skin and be willing to fail, because once you fail, you're failing forward. You're learning something. You're using all of those experiences to catapult you into the next phase.
Definitely. And what about
everyone failed at something? Yeah.
And what about you, Mike? Do you think that you could be a sore loser and an entrepreneur at the same time?
I don't think so. And, you know, in order to be an entrepreneur, you got to be okay with, one, missing a few meals, and two, losing and missing a couple shots. To be honest with you, as an entrepreneur, you're actually going to fail more times than you succeed. Just speaking from experience of us putting together our actual physical product, our beverage product, it took us about 2.5 years to get the formulation correct. And in that process of constantly testing, seeing what works, what didn't work, we failed a lot. And so as an entrepreneur, you just got to be okay with failure. As you know, as she said before, failure really is not failure. It's really feedback, so that way you can begin again more intelligently. So those are my thoughts on that question.
I actually like what you said. It's actually feedback, because some people don't even take feedback the right way. They always take it as criticism when it's really critique to help you, you know, advance or move forward in life. So I definitely like what you said about that. So I have another question for you. I'm going to start with you, Mike. When you get where you're going in success, you always say, people always say, I wish I knew then what I know now. Do you feel that way as well?
I feel that the things that I've learned on my journey have definitely put me in a position to be where I'm at and having the momentum that's happening right now. But looking back, there isn't nothing that I necessarily regret or that I say, man, I wish I'd known that, because every single day, honestly, I'm learning something new that's helping me move forward myself personally, professionally, and in all other areas of my life as well. So I think, yeah.
That's actually a great answer. What about you, Carrie? Do you wish that, do you always go to the synopsis of saying, I wish I would have knew then what I know now?
Absolutely. I look back and I'm like, dang, I could have saved, you know, tons of money, you know, instead of doing things this way or that way. But that's what mentors are for. You know, they're your cheat sheets. You turn to them and you kind of get advice and direction. But at the end of the day, your journey is your journey, and you're going to have to make the mistakes and you're going to have to learn the lessons. But it's good to have, you know, people, a good team in your corner to, you know, give you good advice going forward.
Definitely.
Just so you can cut a couple of those losses.
Definitely. So this is, like I've been saying all day, this is a millennial show. So when you're speaking to millennial entrepreneurs, right? So how big or what? How big does technology play in entrepreneurship? What would you be your opinion, Carrie? How big does technology play when it comes to entrepreneurship, especially for millennial entrepreneurs?
In this day and age, I feel like technology is very important. It's so web-based, internet-based. It's a lot of blogs and vlogs out there. Everything we do is at like the press of a button. The spa industry has changed so much. Now you can, you know, download apps and, you know, call services to your home. That didn't happen years ago. So I feel like, you know, you have to be responsible in terms of technology, learning and keeping up with it is very important for millennials.
Definitely. And what about you, Mike? What would you add to that?
Well, I'll piggyback off of Carrie's point because she made a very solid point there. Technology is probably one of the most important components to success as an entrepreneur, being a millennial. Because everything's web-based. Everything's, you know, dependent upon things like social media and things like the internet, mobile apps even as well. So that being said, you know, even with what I do with my principal business, you know, we have a digital marketing agency and we provide online coaching. So even with teaching people how to set up an online business, part of that success depends upon social media in the form of Facebook advertising. So if you ask me, I say it's one of the most important things in business today as a millennial entrepreneur.
And I'll just say one more thing after Michael. If you don't keep up with it, you're going to have to pay somebody else to do it. So it helps to, you know, go to the bookstore and kind of keep up on, you know, the freshest, newest technology out there, because you have to do it. There's no way you can avoid it. There's no way, and I do not even like using half of the stuff, but I have to sit down and I have to work on it because if I don't, I have to call my web guy, and that means it's another expense.
Very true. So as we're speaking about expenses, I want to ask this question. So is there a difference between income and profit? And I'm going to start with you, Mike. You can go ahead and answer that question. Do you think that there's a difference between income and profit? And if it is, tell us what it is. And if it's not, tell us why not as well.
Absolutely. So this is a great question. And this is something that I had to, one, learn in college, and then, two, actually practice in real life and in the business world. There absolutely is a difference in income and profits. And I'll keep this simple for those of you guys listening who's hearing this for the first time. So income is the money that you bring into your business, and this is what you can consider as sales. Now, what happens is that income, if you have an overhead, which just about every business has a certain level of overhead, if you've had to pay affiliates, if you've had to pay distributors, if there's someone that you had to pay in order to bring that sale in, then that money's going to come from that income. Now, the money that's left over after paying everyone in the form of affiliates, like I said, distributors, whoever it may be, once you're done paying them, that money that's left over is your profits.
Oh, that's true.
I hope that made sense.
It definitely did. What about you, Carrie? Do you think that there's a difference between income and profit? Carrie?
Hello?
Yes. Do you think that there's a difference? I can hear you. Do you think that there's a difference between income and profit?
Yes. So income, like Michael said, income is revenue. That's what you're bringing in. That's what you sell. Your profit is what you keep, or what moves on to the next phase. I'll share a quick story. My first round in 2013, I started a spa with a partner. We did everything wrong. So this is the failure part. We had an awesome year. Awesome year. Like our first month, we had about, I'd say, like 13,000 in sales. And we didn't do any marketing. It was just word of mouth. And people were just like rushing our door down. And we're like, what? What is this? But then at the end of that year, we didn't have anything to show for it, because we didn't keep our expenses down. So we were making a lot of money, but our expenses were just as high as what we were bringing in. So everything that was coming in was being paid out. And also in the service industry, you have to think about the more money you make, the more money you're putting out because you don't have fixed salary. It was all, you know, commission based. So the more we made, the more we had to pay out. So you really have to focus on keeping your expenses low, especially in the beginning, keep them as low as possible so that you have that profit at the end of your term and you have stuff to show. And that's important if you want to get funding, you know, years down the line, you have, you know, your paperwork that says we did this, we did this. They want to see that. So we didn't have that. And that's a big lesson that I learned early on. So now that's my goal. I keep all of my expenses down. I'm like so cheap with everything. Everybody laughs at me, but I'm like, nope, we can't afford it. Nope.
I'm with you on that one, definitely. Living in your means, because a lot of people try to live out their means, and like you said, it'd be a super failure. So I definitely agree with you on that one. But this comes back to my next question as well. So when it comes to putting a team together, right, to make sure that, you know, all your I's are dotted and all your T's are crossed, what would be that first team member that you two individually will put on your team? What would be that first person that you're looking for that first title that you're willing to give when it comes to putting your team together? And you can start, Carrie.
I'm really protective of my business. I'm very slow to hire and quick to fire. I just want to make sure that I have someone on my team that's just as passionate as I am and really sees my vision and believes in it. When you don't have someone like that, you run into many issues down the line. So instead of rushing to grab it, you need a team. You need a team. That's imperative. But instead of rushing to get someone, just take your time and kind of do it until you find the right person, because you'll end up getting burned later on. So what you said, what title would I give them?
Yeah, like what would be that first team you're looking to put on the team?
Perhaps an assistant. Yeah, I was just an assistant. Someone that could, you know, they know how you think, they know how you move. Somebody that you feel comfortable where you're not in the same room as them, but you know that they're going to handle the business the way you need them to handle it. That's the first person I would put on the team.
Okay. And what about you, Mike? Who will be the first person that you employ for your team so your business can, you know, thrive?
Well, I will say, Carrie, you made some really great points there. You know, some similar points that I myself feel are like very, very important when it comes to building a team. But the first thing I would do, me personally, is I would take a look at my strengths and my weaknesses. And the things that I know that I'm good at, I would stick to those. And the things that I'm not good at, those are the things that I would start, you know, looking for a team member to come in and handle those things. So, you know, just to be transparent, me, myself, I'm really good at being creative, coming up with ideas, marketing, selling the ideas, but I'm not so good on the administration side, you know, on the data side, the bean counting side. So the people, you know, the person that I would bring in will be someone that had those strengths that could do those things for me. And also someone that after, you know, looking at our actual mission and our vision and being able to see it, someone who, you know, like Carrie said, someone who's just as passionate and willing to, you know, do everything they can to help the company succeed and help the company reach its ultimate vision. So that's what I would look for first. But, you know, you really do have to be very careful. And I'll share a story real quick. So back when I was back in college, I was building out a team. I had a team of outsourcers, about three people that were working for me. And they were helping me with some blog-related tasks and SEO-related tasks. But me being all naive, you know, this young college kid, you know, entrepreneur, got a little online business set up. I'm thinking that, you know, they're out working and they're doing their thing. A week passes by and I don't hear from like two of the virtual employees. So I'm like, what's going on here? Another week passes by and I log in to see what they've done, like any updates, and there was absolutely nothing. So I cut that team, fired them fast, and since then have been, you know, far more conscious of the type of people that I want to work with, you know, their level of responsiveness, their level of professionalism when they reply on certain emails, and also just their level of dedication to helping the brand and the company succeed with its vision. So,
Mike, you just said
email. Things that I would look for.
Mike, you just said emails. So emails are not the new text messages? You still got to be professional when it comes?
Yeah, you definitely want to keep it professional, because whoever comes on board with your company, they represent you and your brand. Like that's a representation of you. So
I asked that question. I was trying to
be a professional email.
No, I agree with you. I asked that question on purpose because a lot of my generation, I'm a millennial, and a lot of my generation, I feel as though they literally text. Like, they email how they text is what I'm trying to say. And they don't understand that people are really taking that into consideration. Even to the bottom, the header that you put, I mean, the footer, I'm sorry, that you put on the bottom of your emails, like with your name and your job title, your description, people really pay attention to those. And my generation is not grabbing that concept. Like, you cannot text, like, you can't use your text messaging savvy skills in an email or in a memo or anything that you're doing for work. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A lot of us are just not.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten emojis. I've gotten emojis in emails, and I'm like, wow. What? But this is the age of, like, no formalities. Everything is just so free, and yeah, but definitely keep it professional in an email.
I agree with you on that. Definitely. So I have another question for you guys.
Yeah.
When it comes to making another deal or making a new deal, that's what I'm going to say. When it comes to making a new deal with a new client, do you go ahead and start working based on a handshake, or do you start working only after contracts have been finalized and signed? I'm going to start with you, Mike.
Cool. Great job here. So to answer your question, you know, I say it's important to get a contract signed. However, at the end of the day, a contract is just a piece of paper. A contract found in a, you know, a marriage agreement. It's found in a car lease agreement. It's found in a home mortgage. You know, when you get that, a contract's everywhere. The contract only serves as a level of accountability between those two parties to make sure that they do what they said they were going to do. So really, it boils down to trust. Like, how much do you trust this person that you're looking to bring on as a client? I can tell you this from experience and also from a recent example a couple weeks ago with a client. So I was a part of this high-level mastermind where people paid, you know, considerable amounts of money to join, and it was all about email marketing. So in that mastermind, I meet someone, we become friends. She was like a celebrity author, and she traveled the world, spoke everywhere, and was trying to do online marketing. So I got back in touch with her after about 2 years of being in that mastermind and meeting for the first time. And we did a webinar. It's funny. So then we moved on to help her with her business. I told her, hey, look, you know, this, I can help you with this. This is like my higher level program. The only way we can do this is if we work out a royalty deal. Long story short, we worked it out. We started that deal on a handshake, and then it moved on to an agreement. But in that process, she was able to significantly grow her business in the first month and add an extra 5 figures to her business. But again, that was based on the trust, the level of trust we had between each other. So I hope that answers your question, right?
It did, yeah. But you never said if you actually got that paperwork through, though.
Yeah,
oh, yes, I did.
Got it eventually.
Okay, maybe I missed that part. I'm like, did he get the paperwork through? So at the end of the day, you trusted her word.
I did get the paperwork through.
She followed up through. Okay, and what about you, Carrie? What would you do?
I absolutely need the piece of paper up front.
Okay.
I need it up front. Just like Michael said, it gives them accountability. People, there's power in words. Once you have an idea, even with yourself, when you have an idea, when you write it down, it kind of manifests differently, right? So always have it on paper so there's no confusion. Everyone knows what's expected and what they're going to get from it. I've went into situations where I didn't have the paper and it just turned into an entire mess afterwards. So for me, it's better that there's, you know, clear, descriptive expectations written down. Both parties have it and we know what we're going to do.
Awesome. I like that answer too. That was two great answers to that question. But I do want to do a little series with you guys. So I'm going to ask you guys a series of questions that's going, you guys should just pick one answer to the questions. And I'm going to start with you, Carrie, and then we're just going to go back and forth like that. So which statement best describes what you would do when you're faced with a task that you dislike? The sooner I get it done, the sooner I don't have to worry about it anymore. I know I got to do it, but just not right now. I'm going to put it on hold. What would you do, Carrie?
I would do the first. I would kind of just tackle it, because the other stuff on your task, we always go for the stuff that we are comfortable with. When you practice the stuff that you already know, mm-hmm. and not the other thing. So I'm all for the challenge. Give me the stuff that I don't really want to do. You might be surprised and you might really love it. So I'm going to take the challenge first. What about you, Mike?
That is solid. I actually would take the first option. I would take the, like, let me get it done right now, so I don't have to worry about it later. Yeah, that would be the smartest and best way, because, you know, time is limited. We only have 86,400 seconds in a day, so a moment wasted, you know, it's not productive and not getting anything done. So I would choose option A.
Awesome. Mike, you was talking heavy with those numbers. I was starting to think it in the studio. I'm like, wow, he got the numbers.
Yeah, I pulled out the calculator. Like,
wait. definitely. All right, so I want to start with you this time, Mike. So, you know, an entrepreneur, I'm becoming an entrepreneur, you know, starting a business, things like that, you tend to lose friends because your schedule, you know, you may have scheduling conflicts, right? So let's say you made a promise to a friend to attend an event. And now you have to break that promise because something has came up that has to do with your business. Would you lie to the friend and just tell them you cannot make it? Or would you tell them the truth and express to them that something has came up? But this is also not the first time you did it. This is the third time that you have broken a promise to this friend because you cannot make it to an event because of business.
I would choose the second option. I would tell that friend, honestly, hey, this is the issue. This is the situation that's happening. I unfortunately have to cancel our arrangements. Can we do a rain check? You know, I would choose option two, because if that person is really a friend and they really understand, even though they may have a regular 9-to-5 job, which is a good thing to have, don't get me wrong, but even if they have a job and they are your friend, I think they should, you know, still be able to understand, hey, this, you know, my friend's an entrepreneur. They don't turn off the job like I do. So you know what? I'm going to let them kind of do their thing and I'll catch up with them next time. That's my perspective. Of course, everybody doesn't see it like that. And even coming from personal experience, I have friends where they understand it. You know, sometimes I'm just up all day, all night working and grinding. So, you know, that's a part of friendship, in my opinion.
Definitely. And part of the business too. What about you, Carrie? What would you do?
I believe it's option two, just to tell them the truth, right?
Yes.
Is that option two? Yeah. Option two, your business is your baby. So just like, you know, you might not have a babysitter and you can't go out. Same thing. You have business to take care of and you can't go out. And like Mike said, your friends should understand. But the thing is, all friends aren't going to understand, and you may lose them. Entrepreneurship is a very lonely process sometimes, because people that have 9-to-5s, they don't understand the life that you live. They don't understand that you're up all night. They don't understand that you might not have money to go out and eat because, you know, you've invested in yourself. They don't understand that, you know, in order for you to be focused on what you're doing, you can't be around or do the same things that you used to do. So it's a great thing when your friends understand and just give you that space to kind of find your way. Mm-hmm. But everyone won't. And you just have to be okay with that you may lose some friends.
I'm with that, but I still want to be invited all at the same time.
I want to be invited. Just know I'm not coming.
Exactly. Don't not invite me. I still want to be invited. I agree with both of you guys. Definitely. All right, Carrie, I'm going to start with you on this one. When it comes to making a decision that you don't really want to make, do you worry less about it, or do you just quickly make a move on the decision?
I always give tough decisions enough time to process, but I, in my practice, I just don't worry. Mm-hmm. You know, worrying causes stress other places. I don't need it. You know, it's already stressful. So, you know, I give every decision the time that it needs, but I'm not worrying about it.
Definitely. I feel like worrying causes nothing but stress. And once you're stressed, now you're not even thinking about what you was thinking about at the very beginning.
Right.
What about you, Mike? What would you do? Would you worry about the situation or would you just move quickly on making the decision?
So I would definitely take a little bit of time to think about, you know, all of, you know, everything that can happen from one single decision and look at all the permutations of what could happen if this situation popped up. And I like to make a decision quickly. And when I'm making decisions, I'm always making it with the, you know, with the company's vision and mission at heart and at mind. You know, because I feel like if you follow that and base your decisions on what the vision is and what the ultimate mission is of, you know, the reason why you got in the business, I feel like if you make decisions in that state, then you always come out a winner. You always come out on top. Even if the decision doesn't go right the first time, maybe that's great because that becomes a lesson down the road, you know, that's going to help you reach that success with that.
I can't really hear you, Mike. It's something behind you. I can't really hear you. All right. So, Carrie, before we let you go, because we do have to wrap up the episode today, so I am going to ask you this last question. Is there a difference when it comes to entrepreneurship? Is there a difference between knowledge and education?
Education in terms of like formal education, like school?
Yes.
And like knowledge.
Being knowledgeable.
What you learn from experience?
Yeah. So like
in your own study?
Yes. Like being knowledgeable.
I guess
being
I just said it. I really don't think as much of a difference. I mean, technical perhaps, but I mean, you're always learning whether you go to school or you don't go to school. You learn from experiences, you learn from people, you learn from your own studies. So you should always be practicing and researching and trying to stay on top of everything. So I don't really think it's much of a difference if it's the question that, but it's a continuous thing for sure.
Definitely, because you're learning as you're growing with the business. Mike, and what about you? Do you think that there's a difference between education and knowledge when it comes to entrepreneurship?
Yes, and so do I think there's a difference between education and knowledge when it comes to entrepreneurship, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so education, I mean, that's something that's pretty general. That's something that anybody can find by just opening up a book or sitting in the classroom. But knowledge, like you spoke about, that's something that's a little bit more specialized, and that's something that you actually have to work for, whether that's, you know, doing independent research, studying, going through different trainings, investing in yourself, and, you know, surrounding yourself with mentors, surrounding yourself in something like a mastermind, or even just going and acquiring a trade to learn a new skill. Like that knowledge is something that separates you from the pack when it comes to those who just have a regular education.
That makes sense. Definitely. That definitely makes sense. But we do have to wrap up the episode today here on Revive. I want to thank both you and Carrie for coming on the Revive platform and having this conversation with me today. But before we let you go, Carrie, I do want you to go ahead and tell the people where they can find your website, your information, how they can, you know, invest into your business, how they can, you know, come be a customer at your business and things like that. Go ahead and give yourself a shout out, Carrie.
Okay, so my company is Remedy Spa and Wellness. We're located in the Mount Airy Germantown section, 6139 Germantown Avenue. Our website is discoverremedy.com, and you can find us on social media at discover_remedy. My personal page is Ask Carrie, and look out for the blog Ask Carrie.
Awesome. Where can they find the blog at?
You can find it on Discover Remedy.
Awesome. I'm definitely going to check that out. We're putting it on our timeline right now so people can check that out as well. I thank you, Carrie, for coming on the Revive platform, and I wish you many, many blessings in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on here. It was great talking to everyone.
It was a great conversation. I thank you. And, Mike, I would love for you to go ahead and do the same. If you can go ahead and give yourself a shout-out where the people can find some more information, how they can purchase your product, how they can get involved in your business, and things like that.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening tonight. My name is Michael Baptiste. I am the founder and CEO of High Ticket Freedom. And you can come and visit me at my website. That is highticketfreedom.com. Again, highticketfreedom.com. Or you can come hang out with me inside of my Facebook group. I got a free Facebook group where I give out free case studies teaching you how to transform your ideas into high ticket sales. And that Facebook group is just type in the search bar, the High Ticket Society. And just type in the search bar, the High Ticket Society. And you can find me there. What we do is we help individuals discover their superpower, transform that superpower into a high ticket offer so they can package it, share it with the world, get paid to share it, and ultimately you build a fun lifestyle-based business so they can travel the world and share more time with their friends and family. Again, that is highticketfreedom.com. You can find me there. And also with our beverage company, it's called BananaWave.com. You can go to BananaWave.com, or you can go to our website and type in your zip code, and you can find it at a grocery retailer store near you.
That's amazing, Mike. I wish you many blessings in your future endeavor as well. And continue to kick down those doors. Millennials are out here popping. So I really appreciate you. You know, you out here doing your thing, definitely. I wish you many blessings, and I hope you have a great week.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I wish you blessings as well. And nothing but peace and prosperity.
Definitely. We got to continue to network. I want to continue to network both you and Carrie. I think we can do some amazing things.
Awesome. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. People out there need to hear our voice. They need to be impacted on a positive note. So let's definitely continue this, and you keep doing what you're doing, because I think what you're doing is phenomenal as well.
Thank you. All right, Mike, have a good one.
Thanks, you too. Take care. Bye.
And that wraps up another episode here on Revive. Make sure you guys spread the word. We'll be back on Sunday from 11 to 1. The show on Sunday is called Revive Yourself. It's going to be an amazing, amazing jam-packed show. You know, we bring you guys a jam-packed show each and every time we get on the airwaves. Today's conversation was amazing. We had Carrie Young, and we also had Michael Baptiste. I thought that was an amazing conversation with us millennials, just talking about different scenarios that we may face in entrepreneurship and how we can also grow when it comes to entrepreneurship as well. Shout out to also Bernadette Harris and Jamila as well for coming through on the Revive platform and dropping endless gems and just telling us and pushing us in the right direction. You know what I mean? Pushing us in the right direction and giving us some guidance and motivation as well along the way. So definitely follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you were not listening to today's show, you can recap the entire show on our timelines on both Facebook and Twitter. Make sure you guys are following us at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. And subscribe to the newsletter today. Subscribe to the Revive newsletter today so you can stay tuned to all the current events, upcoming events that we're going to be participating in, as well as what's going on in your surrounding communities. We'll be dropping so many different events on that newsletter, so definitely stay tuned. Shout out to Harmony of the Goddess for putting that together. Also, shout out for True Heart to holding down in the studio every time we get on the airwaves. Yo, True Heart, give yourself a shout out before we wrap up today.
Everyone, be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You do not want to miss any daily inspirational posts. We are here to enlighten, empower, and elevate higher, y'all. I'll see y'all soon.
Definitely. And also, we are going to be in Dover, Delaware this Saturday. We're going to be in Dover, Delaware this Saturday. So definitely stay tuned to the timeline. We're going to be promoting for that event. We're going to do some heavy promo for that event. So you guys can meet us down there in Delaware. I never partied in Delaware. I never been in Delaware. I never did anything in Delaware. So this is going to be this is going to be really exciting for me. I hope you guys come out, show love, support. We're going to have some Revive gear at the vending table that you guys can purchase. We're going to have some 90s era, some prophecies. We're going to have some different things down there at that table as well. So definitely stay tuned and make sure you guys subscribe. I'm going to push this all month of July. Subscribe to the Revive newsletter. Definitely. We'll be back on Sunday at 11 a.m. You do not want to miss this episode entitled Revive Yourself. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We'll be back on Sunday.